This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss Afghanistan and what the rise of the Taliban has meant for Afghans, especially women and ethnic minorities. Just a few hours ago, there was another attack on a Shiite mosque in southern Afghanistan, which was packed with worshipers. There are conflicting numbers of how many people have been killed or injured, but we do know, according to reports, that at least 47 people have been killed and 70 were injured. According to The Guardian, it was very crowded when the attacker struck because the community had been holding memorial prayers for the victims of a previous bombing in the northern Kunduz province. The new PBS Frontline documentary, Taliban Takeover, details daily life in Afghanistan, especially for women and ethnic minorities. Najibullah Qureshi is one of the few journalists continuing to report on the deteriorating situation inside Afghanistan. He has gained unprecedented access to the Taliban over the past 20 years. Najibullah Qureshi is an award-winning Afghan-British journalist and PBS Frontline correspondent, and I hope you can take the time to watch Taliban Takeover. It's about an hour. Hi, Najibullah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. You're most welcome. My pleasure.
Well, again, it's so devastating to see another attack. After watching your film, you asked a number of people, are you concerned about a civil war? And here we now have these attacks happening in Afghanistan. First off, just what are your thoughts and your response to this latest one?
Well, actually, I was keep saying this about civil war, not only now, even some years ago. I was saying that when the Taliban take over Afghanistan, then we will have ISIS actively working around the country, which exactly what has happened. So now it's ISIS is everywhere, especially in the north and in the capital and border of Pakistan, around south. So, and these ISIS Khorasan could be a bigger threat, not only for the Afghans and for the entire world. So their aims are mainly attack Shias. In Afghanistan, we have the Sunni and the Shias. So we have about over 3 million Shias in Afghanistan, mainly based in central Afghanistan, but they are spread around the country, such as Kandahar, such as Herat, such as the northern Afghanistan, and in the capital, mainly they are in the capital. But as we can see, this is the second attack on Shias, which is it's something that they're under the threat, and there is no doubt. And according to ISIS, all the Shias, they're not Muslim. They are Muslim, but in their interpretation, they are not Muslim. So that's why they constantly get attacks. And not only them, as we can, I don't know if your audience are aware of or not, because they have been attacking in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Well, they began when Taliban took over. 10 days later, they start their first attack at the airport, which as a result killed 13 U.S. forces, including over 100 civilians around the airport. Then on the same night, there was 5 suicide or explosions attacked by ISIS around the capital. Then 2 weeks ago, we had another ISIS attack in a province which is not far from Kabul. It's called Kapisa. Then last week, 3 days in a row, ISIS attacked in different areas in Kabul. And the day before yesterday was Kunduz, one of the bigger provinces in the north. And now we have witnessing in Kandahar. So it's mean nobody should deny their power. They are like one of the brutal group around that region, and they can. I'm sorry to say that, but we will be seeing more attacks of ISIS around the country.
Mm. Najibullah, you have gained unprecedented access to the Taliban over the past 20 years. I mean, in the film, the new documentary Taliban Takeover, we watch you interviewing members of the Taliban and then members of ISIS. Can you just, first off, tell us how you have gained such unprecedented access to the Taliban? And what are the kind of the rules and restrictions when you are asking them questions?
Well, because I'm from that country and I know how to talk, how to deal with them. And one of to make me succeed was the way I approach to them and how I approach to them, which was very important in the last 20 years. I've been always dealing directly with the tribe elders around the areas where the Taliban were in power. And, you know, once the elder goes to them and asking for a permission or something, it's hard for them to say no for the elders. Most of the time, they even recruit people from the villages, and all the villagers are obey of their elders first. So they have to talk with the elders if they want to recruit even some members. So therefore, they always fully trust and their elders around the area, and also fully trust, fully respect. So that's why the way I was approaching was always through these popular village elder and even regional elders. Sometimes I was involving up to 5 or 6 elders to talk with the Taliban commander, regional commander, to get permission for me. So this was how I was gaining a safe permission.
We talked about the bombing this morning, and then the Wall Street Journal recently reported that the Taliban evicted Hazara Shiite Muslim from villages rewarding loyalists. Seizures come as the Taliban seek to consolidate their new regime and bolster it against simmering discontent. So just to read a little bit from this, the Taliban have displaced hundreds of families belonging to Afghanistan's Shiite Hazara community in central Afghanistan, reinforcing fears of renewed persecution against a minority that suffered under Taliban rule in the past. What can you tell us about this?
Well, unfortunately, even the Taliban were in power in 90s. There was the same issue. The first thing they did on that time, they killed, in one day, they killed 10,000 or even more than 10,000 Hazaras in one day. So even at that time, the Taliban leaders were publicly announcing on the Hazaras, was calling them either become a Muslim or either we will all kill you. So this was their always announcement. So I think they haven't changed, and they are following the same rules as they were in 90s. And they're, again, for them, because all the Taliban are Sunni, and for them as well, it's the same thing. They don't like Hazaras, and simply because according to their interpretation, they are saying that these Hazaras, they don't accept some verses of Quran, and therefore, if somebody even don't obey of one word of Quran, for them, that person is a kuffar or infidels. So for them, according to them, they believe that Hazara people, they don't accept at least half of the Quran. So it's mean they're worse than infidels or kuffar. So therefore, they says, the God allow us to kill them. This is how they interpret it.
Today, we are talking with Najibullah Qureshi, one of the few journalists continuing to report on the situation inside Afghanistan. Najibullah is an award-winning Afghan-British journalist, PBS frontline correspondent. He's the correspondent for the new documentary, Taliban Takeover, which details daily life in Afghanistan, especially for women and ethnic minorities. And I hope you can take the time to watch this film. It's just under an hour, and you can find it at yourcallradio.org. Before we talk about women and girls, I also wanted to ask you about your experience in the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan's fourth largest city. You report that once the Taliban took over the north, they knew that they could take the entire country. And you talk about how the Taliban fought the United States 20 years ago in this area and were defeated. And you said you never believed that 20 years later you would be standing in that same place with the Taliban.
Yes, well, Mazar is the main city of in the north. Another word, Mazar is the key for the entire Afghanistan. If anyone take over Mazar, even 20 years ago, the first city NATO took over was Mazar-i-Sharif, then Kabul, and then entire Afghanistan. Even in 90s, early 90s, when the Taliban took power from the Mujahideen, the first city they took over was Mazar-i-Sharif. So therefore, Mazar-i-Sharif named as a key of the entire Afghanistan because of the location. So this time was exactly the same. The Taliban came through the north, and then once they took over Mazar, then the second day they were in Kabul. So this was something everybody knew. All the experts, politics, military, they knew if the Taliban managed to take over Mazar-i-Sharif, it's mean they will take the entire Afghanistan, and exactly what has happened. Yes, I was in Mazar-i-Sharif on that battle where you can see on the film. There was a time I was in the same spot with some CIA members and with some Americans forces, British forces, and NATO forces in general. And now I saw the same place I was standing with the Taliban. I mean, some people say the history never repeat, but in Afghanistan, unfortunately, history repeating many, many times in the past 45 years. And so basically, in the last 20 years, the country was developed, and we had at least younger generation, educated younger generation, grew up in 21st century. And now, literally, by the Taliban took over, the country went back to 30 years back, like I can say late 19th century. Mm. So this is how the Taliban wants to rule the country, like. They don't want any educated people. They don't want democracy. They don't want women to work. They don't want children to study, and lots of other rules. We have lots of Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, Gulf countries, Iran, or other countries. But when you go to those countries, the women are allowed to be educated. They are allowed to work. They are allowed to do this and that. But for the Taliban interpretation, I don't know how they say from where, what type of book they have for me. I don't know. But whatever they do, it's not mentioned even in Quran, in the Muslim books. But this is the rules. They are always connecting to the book, which is not at all. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to see that country went back to another at least 30 years backward rather than forward. And especially I'm really sorry for the women are in Afghanistan. They're literally trapped inside their houses. They cannot study up to grade 6, and they cannot go to work. They cannot even go outside for shopping alone, and literally they don't have any freedom, and they have to sit home and do nothing.
Let's talk about women. Again, we should just mention Afghanistan has about 38 million people. 60% of the country's population is young. Young Afghans make up more than 60% of the country's population. I want to play a clip, and this is a clip from a Taliban takeover. It's a new PBS Frontline documentary. Najibullah Qureshi is the correspondent in this film. And Mahbuba Siraj is an incredible woman, executive director of the Afghan Women's Network. And Najibullah met with Mahbuba Siraj, who recently passed up an opportunity to leave Afghanistan. So first, let's play a clip, and then we'll learn more about Mahbuba.
Once I was forced to leave this country, And I couldn't really help it in those days. And that was 1978. And I was young, and I couldn't because they were going to kill me. The communists were going to kill me. Today, I wanna give it to the African people. Whatever I have. My time, my love, my belief, my knowledge. Everything.
She said despite the Taliban's quick moves to clamp down on women's rights, she wants the new government to engage with her on the issue.
I cannot tell you how much I want to really talk to them. I am here in Afghanistan, I want to tell them, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting right here. Because the women, the 18 million women of Afghanistan are not dead. And the 18 million women of Afghanistan, they really need a voice. And I will be that for as long as I can. And I would love to sit down with them and talk to them. I would really love to.
That is a clip from the PBS Frontline documentary, Taliban Takeover, and that is Mahbuba Siraj, Executive Director of the Afghan Women's Network. Najibullah, I mean, Mahbuba is an incredible woman, and it just gives you chills when she says the 18 million women of Afghanistan are not dead.
She's the only woman left in the country, actually. I mean, the woman who can protect others, other women. In the past, we have like over hundreds of women, activist women around the country, mainly based in Kabul. They were running so many organizations. They were working under the name of women. They were working through the NGOs by the name of the woman. And we had hundreds of NGOs just in Kabul, and then every single provinces. They were all taking money, international funds from different countries by the Afghan women. What happened since the Taliban took over, they all fled the country. Mm-hmm. This is the quality for Mahbuba Siraj. And she is the only woman left in Afghanistan. And despite the fact she's really, really keen to meet at least one senior Talib to discuss about women, but still it has been over 50 days, but she can't manage to even meet a Talib senior to just talk about women and women rights and what they want. Literally, the Taliban is still abandoned all the women. Even they don't want to meet their representative, so which is Mahbuba Siraj. And she's so brave that she has opportunity to leave the country at any time. She used to live in the United States for 26 years. She has a U.S. citizen, but she left all this fancy life behind, sitting in a country which is nothing is secured. Even her life is not secured. For me, she's the best and she's the bravest woman ever in Afghanistan.
Wow. She is the only one who is still doing this work?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes. There were lots of women similar to her. I don't want to mention their names, but lots of popular women, all the media knows them, and they're all fled the country. They left the country some or another way, but she's the only one is still in Afghanistan with her three young daughters.
Women have gone to her to get help. For example, when you were interviewing Mahbuba, a grandmother came in who was concerned that her 22-year-old granddaughter had been abducted by the Taliban. She has not heard from her. And Mahbuba, you could tell she was getting frustrated. She said, "You need to leave because it's getting dark. You should not be outside after dark." She said before the Taliban takeover, she could have done something to help find her granddaughter because she had such an incredible network of people. Now she cannot do anything. And she said she is so angry about this.
Yeah. Yeah, she had the really good access. For example, if she wanted to have hundreds of police forces, she could have it in a minute. If there was something against the woman, she could have called. She could have called defense ministry. She could have called intel ministry. She could have called to the police chief. And she could have done anything. She could have called to president. Everyone knew her, and they were ready to help her. And the way she felt angry and vulnerable because there was no one to listen to her. There was no one she could call. And remember, that was only one incident that for the time we have been there. So probably every day she might be facing with similar cases every single day. And I'm sure she would deal the same way as she did with that grandma. She cannot do anything. That's she wanted to meet either one senior talent to discuss about something, like if she get some issues with the Taliban, or she faced some problems or some issues, like if the other woman wants some help. She wanted to have at least somebody, but unfortunately none of the Taliban are ready to talk to her. Which feel really sad. The other thing, recently I saw her three nights in a row in another hotel. And then later on, I found out the Taliban raised her house, and she had like 20 or 30 vehicles belong to her organization, all parked inside her house, which she used her house as an office as well. And they took all her vehicles. But later on, when I called her, she said, yeah, for 3 days, the Taliban came to my home and they took all my vehicles, and I managed to get it back. But I'm not sure if she is still in her house or not. But the last time, it was last week when I called her, I wanted to talk to her again, and I wanted to meet her in her house. She said, no, I cannot do that, but I can talk to you on the phone, which I did. So, but still, she's very brave. I mean, she's fighting with such things, even about herself. Even I think they came to took her house. Maybe they were thinking, okay, this is also belong to some NGOs or organizations, but that was her private house. So maybe she got back her house, but still, she's really committed to stay. And even I told her, I'm going to leave the country. Why don't you leave? She said, no, these women need me and I have to stay in the country. Mm.
Are you going to continue to stay in touch with her to find out how she's doing and just to get an update on what's going on?
Yes, I have her contact details. Yeah, definitely I'll be in touch. Sometimes she just say hello to me. But yeah, so if there is any changes, definitely she will let me know. Even the night, one night about 11:30, I was on the phone and I missed her call. This was the time when the Taliban attacked on her home, attacked, or they just raised her home and taking all her vehicles away. This was the time I had a 3 missed call from her, but it was too late when I noticed that. And when I called her the next day, she said, yeah, because I was asking you to call one of the Taliban, because this is what has happened with me. They came and took all my belongings and stuff like that. So definitely I'll be in touch with her, and because she's the only one. She's the only one left. So. Even as a journalist, for me, it would be better to be in touch with her to see if there is any changes towards the woman.
Right. Well, Najibullah, thank you so much for your reporting. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you back.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Najibullah Qureshi is one of the few journalists continuing to report on the deteriorating situation inside Afghanistan. According to Human Rights Watch, hundreds of Afghan journalists have fled the country or have gone into hiding. Najibullah is a frontline correspondent. The new documentary, Taliban Takeover, details daily life in Afghanistan, and you can find a link to watch this film at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.